Welcome to Popcorn History with the Fremont County Historical Museum, Library, and Village. I'm Stephanie Kibler, director here at the museum, along with Risha Lilienthal, curator at the museum.
Yay.
And along with Reggie Bauer.
Bauer.
We haven't seen you in such a long time.
It's been like 5 months or something like that.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's not do that again.
No. Reggie withdrawals.
Yeah.
It's been rough.
Sad.
It's been rough. I totally know where we came up with every topic here. This one makes logic. It's logical to me.
Yeah.
Monkey gland. It won't beat anybody else. Monkey gland apothecary scurvy.
Yeah. All right. Interesting start. What do you got?
I get to start with monkey, which I thought about Monkey Island, but there isn't really much. Well, that's one of the islands here.
How did it get its name?
I could not find that because it's also been called Dress Island. And there's also another name that it has. And I cannot tell you currently.
Huh.
And then I also thought about our sock monkeys that we have in the toys area. And that had a book next to it that said, "Lighten Up, Lenny." And that's the title of the book.
Who's Lenny?
One of the sock monkeys.
Monkey?
Yep.
Oh, geez.
It's by Lois West Duffy and Vicki Lou Snyder. And I believe Vicki Lou Snyder lived in Albert Lee for several years. And if I'm remembering correctly, she was also an educator in the town. She wasn't here for very long, and I didn't grab the book, but that was a thought I had. Instead, I went to some ads that we have from the early 1900s that had monkey in them. And so 1912, Glenville Post had a little story that was submitted called Telling the Truth. And so I'm going to read it to you.
All
it's
right.
Not very long. Okay. On little Arthur's birthday, he received a present of a very large furry toy monkey. 2 days later, his father found it lying in a corner with both eyes missing.
Okay.
"My boy," asked father, more in sorrow than in anger, "why have you spoiled that beautiful monkey by pulling its eyes out?" "Didn't," replied Arthur briefly. "Don't tell any untruths," snorted father, more in anger than in sorrow, "or I'll punish you. Why did you pull the monkey's eyes out?" "Didn't," repeated little Arthur defiantly. Then he hurried on as father took off his slipper.
Uh-oh.
And the young boy quickly replied, "I pushed them in."
He popped his eyes into his head?
So he didn't pull his eyes out. Yep. So telling the truth is that story. Yep.
Well, why did he push the eyes in?
No. This was 1912.
Goodness.
And then also there's an Alden, Minnesota ad that ran in 1925 that was around Christmas time. D.C. Alcott, the druggist of Alden, Minnesota, had little gifts listed for what you could buy for kids in the Christmas time. And they had dolls, doll beds, doll buggies, friction toys, iron toys, spring toys, several different toys. And on there, they also listed climbing monkeys. Okay. And I'm wondering if those are monkeys in a barrel.
That was where my brain went, too.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I went, there used to be the little wind-up toys.
Uh-huh.
Like the little tin, like the monkeys that had
symbols.
I think there's one that climbs a ladder.
Oh.
That's a little creepy.
I mean, they are kind of creepy.
At this point, they probably are. Yeah.
My grandpa had a whole band of monkeys, cymbals. One had a violin, drums, and he'd crank them all up, and they'd all go at the same time, and they sounded horrible. But we were so fascinated with him. And after he passed away, I have no idea what my grandmother did with those. I feel like she should have given one to each of us for...
Maybe she was so annoyed by them.
I don't know.
Found a way to dispose of them.
Got up and walked away on their own.
And he started collecting them when he lived in Geneva.
Aww.
So maybe he bought them from who?
Oh, from the Alden Dr. No, D.C. Alcott, the druggist.
The druggist in Alden. Probably didn't drive to Alden.
Drugs.
Driving to Alden then would have been a long drive.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Although for Christmas, maybe it was special.
Maybe.
Special present.
But time. I think he bought them for himself.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
It doesn't really lend to my topic.
No.
But when you said monkey, I went to Monkey Gland.
Uh-huh.
Which is a cocktail we featured on Cocktail History. It's actually a very good cocktail we featured on Cocktail History. But
gross story, but
it is. And it has really nothing to do with Fribourne County. But I wanted to repeat this gross story for no other reason than it's just so hard to believe it was even a real thing.
Ugh.
So when we were doing the cocktail, one of my jobs with that Cocktail History recording is to research the cocktail itself.
Right.
And this one piqued my curiosity because Monkey Gland, why do you call it a monkey gland?
What in the world is in there?
One of the opening lines of one of the articles I read on this said, there is something in humanity that loves the taboo, whether that be suggestive names, experimental surgery, or banned substances. And the Monkey Gland cocktail ticks all three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do tell.
So, just get ready, Reg.
Oh, boy.
In the late 19th century, early 20th century, Dr. Sergei Voronoff, a French surgeon of Russian descent who gained fame for his technique of grafting reproductive organs of monkeys onto those of aging men hoping to recapture their youthful vigor.
Oh, boy.
The technique brought him a great deal of money, although he was already independently wealthy. He went from being highly respected to a subject of ridicule.
No.
Yeah, right. People really started to, like, run the other way when they saw him coming. If you didn't have the money needed for the little procedure, you could head on over to the bar for a dash of another illicit aphrodisiac, the Green Fairy herself. The Monkey Gland also had absinthe in it.
I love absinthe.
Anyway, that's where my head went. That's the only thing I thought of when she said monkey. I went to Monkey Gland and experimental surgeries so men could get their vim and vigor.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
Yep.
That's it.
That one we did talk about, the puppeteer, the guy.
Oh, we did. Yeah. And yeah, yes, that's your job of that tying the Fribourne County history to the cocktail. What was the puppeteer's name? I can't remember.
I'm not remembering either.
But we have a whole trunk of his puppets.
Yes.
And he and his wife would go around to different Fribourne County communities and do puppet shows.
Yeah. Were they the cute love story?
Yeah.
It was really
and
sweet.
And we will have them up when we redo our toys and dolls exhibit area, which we're close to doing. Mm-hmm. What did I say? It was like a $9,000 reno for that section of the museum. And
because we're making it all like very kid friendly and having things that kids can actually like play with,
touch
and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, indoor, kind of an indoor history play area.
Yeah.
So people can come on rainy days just to hang out and play.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think we're just shy of $1,000 now.
Oof.
So we're really
so close.
So close.
All right.
But you said gland. And so I was already on the monkey part, kind of thinking it would end up going into like pharmacies and druggists and stuff. And then you went to gland, and I was like even more like, ooh, drugs and pharmacies. And so I went to apothecary, and I have a photo to show you guys now too, or like an image of these beautiful things.
So they are beautiful, but when I first saw the picture, I thought it was Christmas lights.
It does
Christmas lights. No, that is a show globe of the apothecary.
Show globe.
Which is the barber pole of the apothecary.
Oh.
So it's how they
That's like what they hung out from.
Yeah, it's how they showed that they were apothecaries to people on the street.
Oh, I wish we had one for our apothecary.
That's what I'm saying. It served a practical purpose as a sign of distinction between an apothecary shop and other businesses. They were first introduced on the streets of Britain, where two major obstacles to show that this was their shop. First, streets were often narrow, winding roads with little or no street lighting. And then secondly, the general public was typically much more illiterate than they are today. And so they required a simple picture or symbol rather than a name to recognize the business. And so that's how the Show Globe became the tackler of both of those issues.
I would presume that'd be the same reason that, like, the barbershops had the barber pole, too.
Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
One of the reasons. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One of them.
And so they became a well-recognized symbol of not only a place to obtain pharmaceutical supplies or remedies, but also of the pharmacy profession itself. In the 1931 American Pharmaceutical Association, they adopted a resolution to legally make the Show Globe a sign solely for pharmacists.
Huh.
They had... The displaying of the Show Globe was filled with colored liquids by establishments not under the direct supervision of legally qualified pharmacists is deceptive and should be prohibited by law by regulation of the boards of pharmacy.
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. So what you're showing us, it's all different colors.
Yes.
So like there's a red one, a yellow. So they're filled with colored liquids. It's not colored glass.
No, yeah. They would do liquids, which would kind of show their apothecary finesse, too, to be able to do that.
Wow.
And a lot of them did get lit, too, if they were like within the window. But sure. No, they would mainly do colored liquids.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's lit, fam. We got green today.
<It's lit.
laughs>
In the same year that they put forth this this law that made it so that they were the only ones allowed to do this, they were noticing that the pharmacy community was doing less and less of like using this to show that they were pharmacies. They weren't using it as much. They were doing more of the words because more people were becoming literate. But there was an author in an edition of American Druggist in 1931 who was asking pharmacists to regain this symbol and proudly display the Show Globes once again. And I'll give you the quote that he said. He explained, quote, "The Show Globes is of the deepest significance to us worshipers at the shrine of Aesculapius. It identifies us at once as practitioners of an ancient and honorable profession. It gives us a legal right to a symbol which may not be used by any other class of business, but a right which may be lost through lack of exercise." Yeah. So after this article came out, there was an introduction of a new style in Show Globes that began a renewed interest in Show Globes. But then in 1965, again, they slowly started to disappear from pharmacy windows.
Huh. I feel like we need a Show Globe for our apothecary. Like, that needs to be a goal.
That would be lovely. I love that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our first physician in Freeborn County, who opened the first drugstore in the county, was Dr. Albert C. Wedge. And he was the leading physician in the county for about 50 years. The building he had was on South Broadway and was also used as an office by William Morin. So he's one who is another kind of name that we've heard before. Lester Wedge Spicer of Barlow and Spicer became one of the larger pharmacies and druggists in the town as well. And he was one who was born in Albert Lea and did school in Albert Lea as well. And ended up becoming a really big pharmacist in the town as well.
It's like the apothecaries are, the homeopathic shops now are like the apothecaries.
Yeah.
Like I think of Daisy Blue and the mad chemist Jenna. yes. back there creating all her lovely little
right.
tonics and
measuring things out and right. doing refills and people it, too.
With the resources you have yeah. with the herbs and the fruits and yeah.
Pretty neat. Oh, she needs a show globe.
She needs a
Jenna, you need a show globe.
And it should be blue.
With like daisies on it.
We'll let her know. In case she missed this episode.
Right.
That's funny. Yeah, I went from apothecary to homeopath.
Yeah. Right?
And that got me to scurvy because I just talked about the monkey gland.
Right.
But scurvy was something that was common, right, back in the early 1900s mm-hmm. On boats quite yeah, often.
Especially mm-hmm. on boats.
And
yeah,
they
scurvy brats.
they treated it with citrus.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so
vitamin C.
Vitamin C. And I just thought that's why scurvy came to my head. I went monkey gland, apothecary. let's cure scurvy.
Yay.
Literally just eat an orange every day.
Right. And they so, and there's like lots of cocktails that have we've uh-huh. talked about it multiple times. The sidecar was one. What was the other? Oh, a gimlet was one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There's like four or five more that really started being served on ships.
Yeah.
I know one of the stories we talked about, they the ship's captain actually encouraged them to have a shot of gin.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Some of the
and
naval.
A lemon or a lime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to keep the scurvy down. And
yeah.
remind me again, what is scurvy?
It's like a vitamin deficiency that like.
But you get sick from it, yeah. right? Like you throw up, you get achy.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
very sickly.
Yeah. It I could see my reflection. Oh.
It just says scurvy's disease resulting from, of course, the lack of vitamin C. Early symptoms of deficiency include weakness, fatigue, and sore arms and legs.
Ooh.
Without treatment, decreased red blood cells, gum Aww. Disease, changes to hair, Ooh. And bleeding from the skin may occur.
Yeah. Oh, it was, no. yeah. So it was Rear Admiral Sir Thomas Desmond Gimlet.
Aha.
Or Gimlet, I'm going to guess. Gimlette.
Mm-hmm.
That acted as the doctor to the sailors and administered gin and lime. Uh-oh, she's got a question.
I have a little like random story anecdote to add to this. I went to a Renaissance festival when I was in high school, and there was a doctor who was portraying a pirate there, and he had a lemon around his neck. Like all wrapped in like twine and stuff as like a necklace.
Yeah.
And he told us the story that, well, this magical fairy came and told him that this would protect him from scurvy. So he put it into a necklace and kept it with him.
Was it a green fairy?
I hope so. But he kept it as a talisman instead of eating it to actually help him.
Well, he's still here, so maybe it helped him.
Yes.
Might have misunderstood the assignment.
Still succeeded.
But so as I was digging into scurvy
yeah,
and the different cocktails we've done, the first name that came to mind that's local was Chris Nelson.
Right? Oh, yes.
And we've talked about Chris, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because he's been on a couple other things. He is fun. He was a contractor. He helped build the top two floors of the Hotel Albert and was considered one of the area's finest contractors.
Mm-hmm.
He also built the Clark's Grove, Red Oak, and Hayward Creameries, 11 county schools, and worked on the first bridge on Bridge Avenue, and designed and made the form for the dam. So, like, really put his footprint on Fribourg County.
Yeah.
He arrived from Denmark in 1904 at the age of 18 on the Danish ship Norge.
Yeah.
4 days out from land, the Norge struck a submerged rock and in 20 minutes had sunk.
Mm-hmm.
Carrying 774 people, only 128 are known to have survived.
Eww.
Yeah. And Chris was one of those. He ended up on an island, right?
Yeah, could or, be, yeah. I a thought, boat.
Well, I thought he floated boat. For a while, didn't
oh.
he?
I'm not sure.
Oh, I didn't.
He ended up on a lifeboat.
No, I did too. They drifted without water except for a dead seagull they had found floating on the sea and divided it without food. They actually did a note in the bottle because there was a bottle on the boat, so they put a note in there and threw that out. And they were eventually, obviously, rescued.
Yeah.
He was also a volunteer here at the museum.
Yes,
and we've saved some of the cases that he built and have his little byline, storyline up. Yeah. Up in the museum. But that was where I went instantly was, well, scurvy, shipwreck. And give me the statistic. It was like the largest shipwreck before until the Titanic.
Correct. Yep.
So, yeah, it was a historic.
The Norga.
And to survive that.
Wow. Yeah. Eating a raw seagull.
Ugh. I'd rather eat popcorn.
Same.